Blog Talk Radio. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ, good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what. Why? Because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, and I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all glory and all praise and all worship and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church, located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give recognition and respect to my supporters and sponsors and founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day at your leisure on Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Odyssey, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their Bibles and study tools, all of the things that we use when we get together to study the Word on Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time, and we will be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. All right. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the things that we use when we get together to study the Word of God as a family of God on Tuesdays and Thursdays, united in the love of Jesus the Christ. He is the common denominator. In Him, all distinctions vanish. There are no races. There are no religions. There are no lines of demarcation. There are no walls of separation. In Him, all things are one. Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity, this moment that You have given unto us in this dispensation of time to lift Your name up, to bring You glory, to declare Your works that we have experienced firsthand in all of the earth, to make Your name great, for You are great and greatly to be praised. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your train filling the temple, each and every one of us as Your temple, Your dwelling place. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your presence resting on us, enveloping us, moving and working through us. Lord, we as Your conduits, we humbly come before You and we ask for forgiveness for anything that is not like You, O God. And yes, Lord Jesus, we understand that You have obliterated all of our sin. As long as we profess you as Lord and Savior and Master of our lives. However, Father, we don't want to be so arrogant or complacent in forgetting that we must admit our faults to you. And we must recognize that you have forgiven us. And a humble heart always asks for forgiveness, whether we have done something wrong or whether we have not. A humble heart before you, O God, is what we want to have, a pure heart. Those are the ones who will ascend into your holy place. He or she who has clean hands and a pure heart. For Lord, we know that you look on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. But Lord Jesus, you know the deepest recesses of the heart. And you judge the heart, Lord. So we thank you for your forgiveness. And we forgive any and every one who has wronged us or who has not, or trespasses that we have committed. We forgive so that our prayers be not hindered. And we thank you for this lesson on today, Father, this lesson in humility. Lord, we ask as your conduits that you hide us all behind the cross so that it is all of you and none of us that is seen, heard, and demonstrated in the lives of others. And Lord, I ask that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher, and you bring us into all truth. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your peace. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts have been prepared and are prepared and still being cultivated by you so that your word, the seeds of your word, will be planted within us to produce much more excellent and richer fruit, glory. This we ask in Jesus' name, and we thank you for answered prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for the listening audience. Every person that will listen to this broadcast, Father, we bless them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for giving them strength and peace and comfort. Thank you, Lord, that they find their refuge in you. And in you alone. We agree with them for household salvation. We agree with them for their loved ones to come into the knowledge of you, Lord Jesus, and become citizens of the kingdom of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just finished our series last week in James, in the book of James, and I trust all have enjoyed that series as much as I have. And if you would like to revisit it, you can do so by typing in your search bar on your computer or your phone, blogtalkradio.com. And then typing in the letters HNLC in their search bar, and you'll be able to go back over the teachings in James. But today, the Holy Spirit will take us over into 2 Kings chapter 5. And we will be looking at the account of Naaman and Elisha. And this, you know, Elisha was the armor bearer servant of Elijah. And when Elijah was translated, Elijah's mantle fell on Elisha, and he was given a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Now, if we go over into 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition as always, and we all can follow along in our translations as we always do together when we study the Word of God. But beginning at verse 1 in 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. He was accepted and acceptable, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. And Naaman, it says, he was also a mighty man of valor. But after all of those things, he was a leper. Now, let's spend a little bit of time in verse 1. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria. To be a commander means to be a leader, to be the head, the chief, the boss, the director, the overseer, a person in authority. So he was the authority of the Syrian army, number one. And it goes on to say that he was a great man with his master. So he wasn't just anybody. He wasn't just anybody. He was a great man, and he was accepted, and he was acceptable, because it was by him that the Lord had given victory to Syria. It says he was also a mighty man of valor, a mighty man of great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. He was fearless. He was courageous. He was brave. He, you know, he was... had great courage, a mighty man of valor. And the Holy Spirit always, God is so specific. There are reasons why he pointed those specific character traits out regarding Naaman. And we can, in our own study time, talk to the Holy Spirit and ask him why he specifically chose to highlight those specific characteristics of Naaman, because I believe those characteristics are important to this account that was written. He said he was also, the scripture says he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, leprosy is a contagious disease that affects the skin, the mucous membranes, and the nerves, and it causes discoloration and lumps on the skin. And in severe cases of leprosy, it causes disfigurement and deformities. Now, in our day now, there are cures and it can be treated. But in this day, they did not have all of the medical breakthroughs that we have today. So this was very important, an important characteristic that was pointed out by the Holy Spirit about Naaman, that even after all of this great achievement, after all of these things that he had done, after his great position, he was a leper. He was ill. Now, verse 2 says, the Syrians had gone out in bands and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And this little maid waited on Naaman's wife. So this little maid waited on Naaman's wife. In other words, she was Naaman's wife's servant that they had brought away captive from Israel. And in verse 3, it says, she said to her mistress, she said to Naaman's wife, would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Now, we're going to talk about the unexpected ways that blessings come, the unexpected ways that healing comes. Let's look at this little maid for a minute. Because usually when we read this account of Naaman and Elisha, we don't really pay attention to the little maid. And the little maid who was serving Naaman's wife, obviously she had a humble heart because she was serving Naaman's wife. Not only because she was serving Naaman's wife, but her heart was for her or the people that she worked for, that she was waiting on. And especially for the healing of the commander, Naaman. Because she was the one who brought up to Naaman's wife, would that my Lord, verse 3, she said, were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Now, when someone is a little maid, that has to mean a young lady, a very young lady. And she was thinking about Naaman. And through the lips of this little maid was the beginning of Naaman's healing. It was the beginning of how he was going to be healed from this little maid who was serving the wife of Naaman. And of course, Naaman's wife talked to Naaman and told Naaman what the little maid said. In verse 4, it says, Naaman went in and told his king thus. And thus said the maid from Israel. So in other words, the commander went in and told the king what this little bitty maid, young maid of humble heart, not thinking of herself, but thinking of him, and told the king what she had said. The little maid. And he probably was not expecting that little message or that little bit of information to come to him, because it sparked the beginning of his healing. Now, verse 5 says, and the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of raiment, of clothes. And verse 6 says, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel. It said, when this letter comes to you, I will with it have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of leprosy. Now, the king got it miscommunicated, because it was the maid in the beginning that said in verse 3, Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told the king what the maid said, and the king of Syria, instead of asking for the prophet, sent the letter to the king of Israel. And in verse 6, it says, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, and it said, when this letter comes to you, I will with it have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of leprosy. So the king of Syria sent the letter to the king of Israel, expecting the king of Israel to cure him of his leprosy. And of course, in verse 7, it says, when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes. And he said, am I God? Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends to me to heal a man of his leprosy? Then he says, just consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me. So the king of Israel is like, okay. Now, the king of Syria sends me this letter, sends me his servant Naaman, his commander, and he's expecting me to cure this man of his leprosy. And of course, if I don't cure him, there's going to be a discrepancy. There's going to be a confrontation. There's going to be a misunderstanding between the two of us. Just consider and see how he's seeking a quarrel with me, the king says. But in verse 8, it says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king asking, why have you rent your clothes? He said, let Naaman come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet, Israel. Verse 9 says, so Naaman came with his horses and chariots, and all of the things that he was carrying, the 10 talents of silver, the 6,000 shekels of gold, the 10 changes of raiment, all of those things. Naaman came with all these riches, all this stuff, as the commander. And he stopped at Elisha's door. Now, Elisha was the prophet in Israel. And he told the king, send him to me, so that he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So he stopped at Elisha's door, verse 9 says. And verse 10 says, Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Just remember, the beginning of all this was the little maid thinking the Lord of the house, her heart going out for him to be healed. So Naaman, I'm sure he knew what a prophet was and how devout of a man of God Elisha was. And Elisha, instead of coming out to meet Naaman face to face, he sent a messenger to him. And the messenger gave Naaman a message. And the message was, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Verse 11 says, but Naaman was angry and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leper. So Naaman had a preconceived idea after what was going to happen before he got to Elisha's house. How many of us have a preconceived idea of how God is going to move in our lives? How many of us have been angry at ministers or those who are in the church because they would not cater to us, because they would not personally come see us, because they would not spend their time, devote their time to talk to us personally? Or how many of us have been prideful enough within ourselves to say, if I talk to such and such and rub shoulders with such and such, then I can tell everybody that I've spoken to them personally, and then put that in my repertoire and say, oh, yes, I know that person. We talked on several occasions. Putting ourselves in self-righteous positions. Naaman was angry, verse 11 said, and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me. I thought the prophet himself would surely come out to me. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know that I am the commander of the Syrian army? Doesn't he know that I am accepted and acceptable? Doesn't he know that the Lord has given victory to Syria by me? Doesn't he know that I'm a mighty man of valor? Doesn't he know that I'm a leper? And I need for him to lay his hands on me? Or I need for him to put oil on me? Or I need for him to do what he does as a prophet and prophesy and speak to me? Verse 11. Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leper. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And then it says, so he turned away, he turned and went away in a rage. I mean, that upset him. He went away in a rage. And yet God was trying to get healing to him. And God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom and love, caused his servants to speak up to him. And in verse 13 it says, and his servants came near and said to him, my father. See how the servants approach him. If the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? In other words, if the prophet would have told you to do something great and grandiose, would you not have spared any expense to do it and get it done? Then they say, how much rather than when he says to you, wash and be clean. In other words, stop focusing on the dirty Jordan River. Stop focusing on the circumstances and the way he's telling you to be healed. Stop focusing on that. The main focus is that he said, wash and you will be clean. Wash and you will be clean. Don't you want to be healed? And the servants, coming from a humble position, just like the little maid, turned Naaman to a place to say, you know what, you're right. Because he went away, in verse 12, it says he went away in a rage. That's intense anger. And the prophet Elisha told him to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean, in verse 10 of 2 Kings chapter 5. There's a specific reason why God says things the way he says them, and why he gives specific instructions, detailed, precise, exact, and concise. And the way God moves is not always the way we expect him to move. Just like Naaman thought what Elisha would do. How many of us have preconceived notions about what someone will do or how God will move? But there's a specific meaning to the number 7 in Scripture. And the number 7 is the foundation of God's word, but it symbolizes completeness and perfection in both physical and spiritual realms. It symbolizes completeness and perfection in both the physical and spiritual realms. And the prophet told Naaman to dip 7 times. And the prophet is the mouthpiece of God. So the prophet gave the instructions, but the prophet did not speak unless he heard from God. Told Naaman what to do, because God told him what to tell Naaman what to do. And his servants talked to Naaman and calmed him down, and Naaman humbled himself then. The process of humility began. The beginning process of humility. The cultivating of Naaman by the love of God, by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. The cultivating of Naaman's heart, both physically and spiritually. In verse 13, it says, and his servants came near and said to him, my father, they called him. If the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather than when he says to you, wash and be clean? Forget about where he told you to wash. The primary focus here is your healing. Not the circumstances surrounding how to get it. This is a word from the prophet of God, God's mouthpiece? Do you trust what he says? Even though he did not come out personally to meet you, and he sent the message through a messenger? Verse 15 says, then Naaman returned. It says, verse 14, it says, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. Just imagine Naaman going to the Jordan. And he gets into the water. And he goes down once. And he comes up again. And he goes down twice. And he comes up again. And he continues until he has completed 7 times. And each time he went into that water, through his obedience and his humility, the beginning of the cultivating of the humility in his heart, he obeyed the messenger that came from the prophet. And God began to do a work in him. God began to clean him. God began to complete him, both physically and spiritually, until the 7th time. It says, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, as the man of God had said, and his flesh was restored like that of a little child, and he was clean. His flesh was restored like that of a little child. The Holy Spirit wants us to pay attention to that phrase. His flesh was just not restored, but his flesh was restored like that of a little child. And he was clean. Verse 15, then it says, then Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. He came back praising God. Thankful to him for making him clean. Thankful to him for completing the work, both physically, spiritually in him. Because it goes on to say, the Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and stood before him. He said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So now accept a gift from your servant. Now he calls himself a servant. And Elisha said in verse 16, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will accept none. And Naaman continued to try and get him to take it. He urged him to take it, but Elisha refused. Our time has gotten away from us. We're going to come back to 2 Kings chapter 5 this coming Thursday. We're going to examine it a little bit more. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time of study. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and our ears of spiritual understanding so that we can see the clarity, the conciseness, detailed instructions that God will give us to do. And Lord, thank you for preparing us as your people to not judge by what avenue the blessing comes from, but to give glory to you who has provided the blessing. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us your ways, showing us who you are, showing us your tender love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for being so good to us when we are not so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord continue to keep us. May the Lord continue to make his most beautiful face shine upon us. May the Lord continue to be so gracious to us as he always is. May the Lord continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us. What does that mean? For God himself to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us. And may the Lord continue to give us his peace, himself, the essence of him, the fullness of him, the all of who he is, the fullness of him that filleth us all in all. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying God bless you on this day. Until we meet again for the continuation of our study on Thursday, pray for me as I pray for you. And get alone with God today and study. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you a little bit more and give you more insight. Until we meet again, good God day.